And so the virgin conception and thus birth is a non-negotiable element. It's mandatory to believe because it reveals the means in which God took on human flesh to save us from our sins.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, in today's broadcast, we continue our series of sermons designed to draw our minds and hearts towards the message of Christmas.
Yes, we will, Dave. And today we're going to look at a passage that has to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 18 to 25.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, today we look at the Christmas story revealed in the book of Matthew, and it's so easy to remember what Christ has done for us, to think about this time, but not really to think about it, to be honest with you, to not really ponder the reality of what God did in sending His Son to take on human flesh, to live the perfect life and to die for our sins. It's so easy to simply see this in a very casual, light way when it is the most serious of things that could have ever been done, where God took on human flesh to die for us. So today, please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 to 25. And we're going to see that as we look at the birth of Jesus, that God is with us, and we'll see that in a minute. Let me remind you of some of the context for the book of Matthew. Although Matthew is not specifically named here as the author, it's been accepted throughout history that he is the author. Indeed, the early church universally, without contention, accepted him as the author. It's very clear within the book that he is the author also. And Matthew, or Levi, his formal name, was a tax collector. He was a sinner like you and I, called to repentance by Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 9 and Luke 5, we see the Lord Jesus called him, Matthew, to follow him, and he did. Now, the Gospel of Matthew is very Jewish. It contains many Old Testament quotes. It also appears to serve as a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's certainly the most Jewish of the Gospels, and more importantly, this book is about Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews who brings salvation to the world. Now remember, Matthew is about the presentation of Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, and certainly to present a king, there must be teaching concerning his kingdom, and we see that in the book of Matthew. Now it is also about not only his presentation, but also the rejection of him and the opposition to him by the Jews. And that rejection culminating in them crucifying him, the venue in which God would bring about salvation, the forgiveness of sins. That salvation rejected by his own people, which would be offered to the nations. Now, earlier in chapter 1, we see that Matthew is about, verse 1, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And more specifically, we see that Jesus Christ fulfills that Davidic covenant, that he is in the line of David, in which there would be a king ruling forever. And he also fulfills the Abrahamic covenant, that he is Abraham's seed in which all the nations would be blessed. It is through the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ, that salvation is offered to the world. And then we see also before our passage that Jesus' genealogy from Joseph's side, that this proved he had the legal right to the throne of David. He's rightfully the King of the Jews. And as we will see today, he is the Lord who saves. So with this in mind, let's take a look at this tremendous true story. Turn your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be beginning with verse 18. And the first thing we're going to see is that Joseph has a dilemma. Verse 18, now the birth of Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. And notice in verse 18 here, we see first and foremost, this is about the birth of Jesus Christ. That's what this passage is about. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ. And what is Christmas about? About the birth of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see later on that Jesus is the Lord's human name. It was given to him by birth. Jesus is a translation of the word Yeshua or Joshua, which literally means Yahweh is salvation, or the Lord is salvation. And the term Christ is a title. It is the Greek equivalent of the term Messiah, which means anointed one. And it is clear from Scripture that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the King of the Jews. He is the Christ. He is the King of Kings. So our passage is specifically about Jesus Christ, and it is about his birth. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Now earlier in chapter 1, which leads up to this portion, we had Jesus' genealogy, in which we see that Jesus was also Mary's physical offspring, not Joseph's. And although he was legally in Joseph's line, Matthew 1:16, and to Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. He was born of Mary, but he was in the line of Joseph, as we will see. And now springing from this genealogy, we have the extremely important account of the birth of Jesus Christ. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Notice, first of all, we are reminded Jesus' mother is Mary. When his mother, Mary, it's amazing to think about. It's amazing to ponder the realities. We'll see God taking on human flesh. God having a human mother. Just like each and every one of us. So now we have the account. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And so we see Jesus' mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. What does that mean, betrothed? Well, the betrothal period, although it's somewhat like our engagements that we have in our culture, it was a little different. We see that in the Old Testament times, the idea of marriage had two steps to it. There was first the betrothal period and then the wedding itself. And the betrothal was usually instigated by two families or by two individuals, and it was a contract for proposed marriage. It was a binding contract. It was a binding promise, so binding that they were considered to be married at that time, and if they were to break, they would have to be divorced. Now, this period was usually 12 months, but it could be shorter. And it's interesting that this period was set for protection of the husband and the wife, to which the fidelity of the wife would be proven. Obviously, if someone became pregnant during that time of 12 months, it would become manifest by that time. And indeed, the Apostle Paul uses this as an illustration in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 as a metaphor concerning how he had betrothed the Corinthians to the Lord, but he thought maybe they had been unfaithful. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. We see this concept. 2 Corinthians 11. He says, I wish you would bear with me a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. Now, he's being sarcastic because they were saying he was foolish. And so he's, okay, bear with me a little foolishness. He says, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that is Christ, that I might present you as a pure virgin. The idea of that betrothal period. He says, but I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of a devotion to Christ. I'm concerned you've committed spiritual adultery. And so we see that idea of that betrothal. Paul's saying, metaphorically, I arranged your marriage with Christ. I brought the truth to you about your supposed or salvation. And he says, but I'm concerned you're not a pure virgin, that Satan has led you astray and you've committed adultery with these other false apostles. That's the context of 2 Corinthians. So we have the idea of protection, a period of time that would be observed to see if they were going to be faithful. And it is the same with us, with Christ. God tests us to show us where our faith really is at. And we see that. So at that point, then, after the betrothal period, there is the wedding. And the betrothal ends gloriously as the husband arrives and the woman is presented as the beautiful virgin bride to her husband. And they are married and then they consummate the marriage. So Mary and Joseph had entered into this binding contract. They were betrothed. And now this usually took place in the late teens. So most likely Mary was a young woman. And we also know from Scripture that she was a godly woman. She was a godly woman. Do you remember Mary's response? We saw it earlier to the angel Gabriel's declaration that she would become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, bringing about a Savior. Look in Luke chapter 1, and actually this is after that portion that was read earlier. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. I'm going to read something else there too, so you can keep your finger in there for later. This is Mary's response to the declaration of what would happen to her. Luke 1:46, and Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary needed a Savior, by the way. She was a sinner. "God my Savior, for he had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and his holy name, and his mercy upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." Says, "My soul exalts the Lord." She's a godly woman. Well, what do we know about Joseph? We know earlier he's in the line of David, chapter 1. We know from Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, he was a carpenter. We know that he was probably not that wealthy. When they came to the temple, they offered turtle doves, which was a sign of not being that wealthy. Both of them came from Nazareth, which was not one of the wealthiest portions of Israel. And we know from this passage, as we will see later on, that he was a righteous man. Verse 19, he was a righteous man. So back in our passage, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together. They had not come together. Mary had kept herself a virgin to the point until after Jesus was born. Luke makes that clear, as was read earlier for us. Joseph was engaged to a virgin. And that word means that in Greek. She was engaged to a virgin. And it's absolutely crucial that we understand this. Now, back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke makes it very clear that this is the case, so that no one would misunderstand the reality of what God had done. Luke chapter 1:26, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth." And notice this, "to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, 'Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what type of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Offspring shall be called the Son of God.'" It's actually crucial that we realize that they had not come together. Back in Matthew 1:18, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they had come together, she was found to be with child. Now, we know from the Gospel of Luke that we just saw that Mary had been informed previously that she would bear a son, and that which was conceived in her womb was by the Holy Spirit, and therefore he'd be called the Son of God. But what about Joseph? What about Joseph? What did he know? Now, historically speaking, those who were betrothed didn't spend all their time together. As we see, even in Luke chapter 1, Joseph seemed to be nowhere around when Mary had visited her cousin Elizabeth. So Mary had been informed before the conception by the angel, but apparently Joseph had no knowledge. And here we go. She was found to be with child. She had the baby bump. Something was going on there, right? It was obvious. And this must have been very troubling for Joseph because he was a righteous man. Mary, what's going on here? What's going on? Now, Mary may have told him what the angel had shared with her, but certainly this would be hard for him to believe. Bottom line for Joseph was she was found to be with child and it wasn't his child. It's the bottom line. And so before we're tempted to jump to conclusions, Matthew makes the intent of this passage clear right away. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't by Joseph, it wasn't by any man that Mary was found to be with child, but by the Holy Spirit. Now at this point, we come to something that's difficult for us to wrap our heads around, and we need to take what God shares by faith and believe it. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. This is speaking of the conception of Jesus in the womb of a virgin by means of the Holy Spirit. And from man's point of view, it's impossible. So don't try to figure it out. Just believe it. You see, God has not given us the information we need to know to figure it out. He has just declared the truth that we would believe it. And so the virgin conception and thus birth is a non-negotiable element, as we're going to see. It's mandatory to believe because it reveals the means in which God took on human flesh to save us from our sins. And those who don't believe in the virgin conception and thus birth erroneously and satanically remove the deity of Christ, because it is through this that he shall be called the Son of God. It's the means in which God took on human flesh. So she was found to be with child by, or literally from, the Holy Spirit. So back in our passage, Joseph is hit with this news in a sense. Mary is pregnant and he is not the father. And so Joseph, not yet having any revelation from God, it appears, like Mary did, is fully wanting to do the right thing. He's a righteous man. He wants to do what is right in God's sight. And how many of us, when something happens to us, do we immediately, when it's difficult, want to do the right thing in response? Joseph desires to do the right thing. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, notice he's her husband, they were legally bound, it was husband and wife in that betrothal period, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. Joseph's got a dilemma. His wife-to-be is pregnant. It's not his baby. And so it's also very apparent in the context that he was afraid or fearful, that he was concerned. Later on in verse 20, we have the statement, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. It's safe to say Joseph was probably running the gamut of emotions that anyone would run through their head if they found that their bride-to-be was pregnant. And so here we see that she was found to be with child. Now, did Mary tell what the angel said? Scripture doesn't say. But Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, notice what we see in verse 19, desired to put her away secretly. Now, even in this betrothal period, Joseph is considered to be her husband, as we saw. And we have two participles describing him. Being righteous, present tense, and second one, not wanting. Joseph is a godly man. Being righteous and not wanting. Joseph was a godly man. He was a righteous man. And he was evidently a righteous man who desired to obey the Lord in every circumstance. He was an Old Testament saint who was probably saying to himself, how can I marry Mary? She's violated the law. I don't get it. I don't understand. But I want to do what God says. But not only was Joseph a righteous man, and by the way, righteous because of faith in the Messiah who would come. Righteous because of faith in the seed of Abraham. Not only was he righteous, he was a merciful man. And not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. Now, what does this mean? There are two possibilities or two avenues for Joseph to take in the situation. When they haven't come together yet and he finds his wife to be pregnant, he could charge her in public and bring a trial in public and she could be convicted and shamed. Now, earlier they would stone, but they don't do that anymore. And the other possibility would be to send her away, divorce her secretly. In Deuteronomy 24, we see the provision for sending away privately by giving her a certificate of divorce. So what is the righteous response from God's word for him to do, how to address this situation with Mary? The righteous response would be to put her away secretly. Yet along with this righteous response, we see Joseph's compassion and love. Verse 19, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her. Wow, he's a good guy. Desired to put her away secretly. So Joseph has a tremendous dilemma. He is righteous and he doesn't want to disgrace her, so he desired to put her away secretly. And so what is God's response to his planning and what he is agonizing over? Notice we're going to see God's faithful intervention in verses 20 to 21 of Matthew 1, where the angel commands Joseph to take Mary as his wife because God is taking on human flesh to save his people from their sins. That's the reason why. Look at verse 20. But when he had considered this, now that was to put her away secretly, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. So then Joseph is considering and pondering his action, and evidently here he falls asleep. So Joseph has a righteous desire, and based on his limited information, and God sends an angel to give Joseph the straight scoop on what to do. Verse 20, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying. Now, before we get into what the angel tells Joseph, we need to recognize that although this is in the context of a dream, an angel of the Lord does speak to him. It's not something Joseph is imagining. It's actually happening.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you gave us some good advice, so would you take a moment and share that with us again?
You know, Dave, the simple advice from Scripture is this. Trust the Lord and do what is right and let Him take care of the details. So often we are tempted to focus on the things that we cannot control rather than just doing what is right, just trusting the Lord and doing what He says. You'll be amazed when you trust the Lord and do what you know is right, that the things that you cannot control, the Lord controls, and He brings about what He desires in those situations for our good. You see, and a byproduct of that, Dave, is living a life in the context of peace, a peace that is beyond understanding, a peace that is from God. So today, as you think about the issues facing you, why not just do what God says in His Word and let God take care of the rest of the details? Cast your cares on Him because He cares for you.
As we close today's broadcast, here's a special message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Now, if this broadcast is something that you have been blessed by, as the year comes to a close, I would encourage you to pray about making a year-end gift to help this broadcast continue. You see, we can't continue apart from God's provision through listeners like you. So would you pray about giving a year-end gift to the ministry of Equipping the Saints? We would so appreciate the Lord's help through you.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to contact Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 1-800-596-9144, or at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time for another edition of Equipping the Saints.